I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Akushla Bastable and Molly Sturges. They are co-founders of Life Songs, and there's a concert coming up this Saturday at 7 o'clock at the Lensic, the 9th of May, called Dancing by Moonlight. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So, Life Songs, for people who are not yet familiar with this, I'm going to call it a phenomenon. What is it? What's it all about? How did it come to be?
Well, we started Life Songs about 8 years ago, and originally it was founded with the Santa Fe Opera and Little Globe, and then a few years later we moved over to the Academy for the Love of Learning. So Life Songs is an intergenerational arts and community project, and we run intergenerational ensembles and write music and poetry with people in hospice, and it's true... it is kind of a phenomenon. It's a growing community, mm-hmm. and we have a new story-gathering project with an exchange between school kids and elders and senior centers.
Yes, and we also, one of the things we talk about a lot with Life Songs is that at its heart, you know, we're a culture change project. We're looking to sort of change the way we all... interact with ourselves as aging beings and also with people who are older and dying, and sort of to be able to incorporate those processes, the aging and dying processes, as part of our lives. And but we do it with joy, and we do it in celebration and ritual. And so I think the concert on Saturday is very much a community ritual.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is we are, you know, the songs that you'll hear when you come on Saturday are songs about living they're the songs of very many different people. So their life in all its many guises and experiences. So there'll be songs about there's a beautiful song called A Long Winter, and it's written by a 101-year-old lady called Lillian. She's fantastic, and it is honestly about preparing for her next passage, her next journey. Then there are also songs, there's another song called Estaciones de Amor, and that is about the many seasons of life. There's a song...
And love.
And love, yes, exactly. And then there's a song called Dancing by Moonlight, which is about the joys of dancing. So there's so many things. So when I say it's a ritual in the sense that it's people sharing their lives and their experiences of life through song and movement with a larger audience. And there's so much of our shared humanity that will be shared basically on stage.
Tell us a little bit about the process, because of course some of the people who are writing these songs are not necessarily trained musicians or composers.
Well, I think this is really at the heart of the Life Songs work and at the Academy in general, is first of all our capacity to be present with one another and how healing that is, that really all of us want to be heard and seen and felt. And when we feel that way, we come forward. And in Life Songs, what's so great about the arts, I think there's often not an agenda about what needs to come forward. And also at the heart of the Life Songs creative practice is the idea really that we all have this wisdom and beauty, and it can come out in many ways. It can come out as a song about anger. But once we express ourselves, we connect and we create a space, especially through the creation of songs and poetry, where we can feel each other empathically. And that changes us and it heals us. So that's really central. That's kind of the core guiding principles of the creative practice. How it actually occurs is a back and forth process. So it's not documentary work where we bring in a composer or a poet and you tell me your story and I write the song. that does occur in many, many projects, and it's respectable work, but that's really not what we do. We go back and forth. And so there's always opportunities, and it's really quite nuanced, but it's always opportunities for somebody, well, how do you like this? Does this sound like the ocean that you were thinking of? Oh, no, that doesn't quite sound like the ocean. They may not have a musical language. They may not say, oh, could you please adjust that chord? But most people, if you're asked in a certain way, will find a way to weigh in if they feel the mm-hmm. space. And then what happens is over time, and we have the luxury of working over time, this sense of ownership is really felt. And when that's lifted then through another choir or somebody else takes that piece through their body and sings it, this incredible thing happens. And it's dignifying, it's beautiful, and
it's validating,
and it creates a space where we can all feel into it. Mm-hmm. And we always say, if we are not changed by the work as the facilitating artist, then something's wrong. This is not helping. This is like, no, people, we grow this together. Like, we don't have another choice. There's a lot at stake on the planet right now, and including death and dying and aging is a really, really important part of that work for us.
When I think about the importance of healing and of expressing before you die, it's kind of a mysterious thing why that is so important, but it does seem to be very important. And people who die having said what they want to say to people, as opposed to dying with secrets or with resentments or whatever that thing is. I don't know what that is. I mean, there's, you know, I think in Buddhist practice, they say that your last thought when you die is your first thought in your next life. Mm-hmm. And so going out smoothly is an important thing and actually has consequences. But I wonder how the two of you felt that, especially having done this work for so long and probably having lost a lot of the friends that you worked with.
Mm-hmm. That's a multi-layered question mm-hmm. there, Marie-Charlotte. But I think that, you know, we don't sort of claim to sort of be able to resolve everyone's issues towards the end of life. But what we do invite people to do is to come into an exchange, an intergenerational exchange, with another human being and with many other human beings, and to talk about their life experiences or to share what has been most resonant and important for them in their lives. And I think the act of sharing what in your last chapters has been important to you, and to have that heard and witnessed, and not just witnessed, but as Molly said, uplifted then in song, and shared in it with a larger community, does a huge amount for I think a person's soul, so beyond their sort of morale. And I also think one of the things that we talk about a lot is that as we're in our final stages, we're often in what they call a life review process, and so there's a very active process of the mind, where the mind is actually going through, the mind and body and soul, we're going through our lives and probably evaluating and assessing what it is that has been most important. So to be able to be part of that process, engaged in a dialogue with someone at that time is incredible. And I also just want to say that I have an 18-month-old daughter right now, and I see her go into daily review process.
Really?
And it's extraordinary.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
She, I mean, for anyone who's a parent will kind of know what this looks like, but for me as a new parent, it's quite extraordinary, and I see its connection to end of life. She will process, and I can see her, she's processing her day and what she's learned. She just repeats it, and she'll make gestures that she's seen during the day, and she'll repeat words. And she's often looking for validation from me, but also just repeating the words and the concepts that she's learned and acquired. And it's a way of, you know, her fully, I suppose, incorporating them. But it's fascinating to watch and fascinating to listen to. So, and in some way, I sort of see it as sort of, you know, similar process in a way. You know, just different ends of this, different ends of our life.
Intuition.
Does it? Does watching? Okay, you're watching a young person. You're watching older people. Do that kind of review, and they're here, the two of you, in the prime of your life and busy and, you know, raising children, all of that. Does it prompt you to sometimes go back and review for yourselves?
Oh my gosh. I think it's one of the main reasons that I can say I do this work is it has, it attracts a certain kind of person. Not everybody's wanting to do this kind of work, but for me, it's such an honor. It is so deeply clarifying. I can't remember a time on this project that I haven't felt honored to do the work in any of the settings. Kids, people are dying at the nursing home with our partners. This project doesn't happen without very deep partnerships. Christine Sandoval, Santa Fe Care Center, all the team over there, and many others. I feel like, you know, many people attracted to this work, and I can say it for myself, I've had very strong experiences with grief and dying. And I feel like one of the things, just to harken back to something Akushla mentioned about ritual, I think we are craving collective spaces where we can process, actually, in ourselves and together, the grief, the loss, the change that we need. We live by certain ideas of what life is, and then when we become ill or start dying, or we grieve, they come into question, and we need new forms, new ways of renewing those stories. And I feel like this work does that, and it actually creates a capacity for that. So, yeah, for me, I feel like I'm sort of always in a review process. Sometimes I take a little break. Sometimes it gets a little intense. But it has made my life so much richer and fuller. And I see that at the concerts and in all of the work here, that we all feel that way, actually. We all feel this kind of essentiality of meaning. And you said the word love earlier, but I actually feel that that is, in no tokenized way, quite at the center of this.
No, I agree. I think the concert and the whole program is fundamentally about love and expressing it, finding it and connecting with it and connecting with more and more people and expressing that love. And I would echo what Molly said about it's been a very profoundly affecting adventure for me to work with live songs. It's always personal. I have found in at times when my life has been very difficult, or I've experienced loss, and I've experienced quite a bit of loss in the last several years, that I find the ground when I am in relationship with people in this kind of way. It's because it's so honest and about the heart and generous as well, generous and generative, and yeah. So it's an exquisite project, and it's such a deep honor to work with everybody on it. I'm very, very honored. I mean, and this year on stage we have 4th grade and 7th grade students from Waldorf. We have we've collaborated with Amber Care Hospice and 5 different individuals there. 201-year-olds. I mentioned one of them earlier.
Oh my goodness!
201-year-olds.
Do you want to live to be 100 after having done what you do?
If I can be as fabulous as them,
I don't think like that. No. I hope to live as long as I'm
meant
needed.
Yeah. And then but we also have elders from the Santa Fe Care Center, community members, our artist facilitator team, the staff from the Santa Fe Care Center, the Seventh Wave Community Choir.
And UNM, all of them will be on stage at the Lenza?
Yep.
Can I just mention, I just want to say the concerts are phenomenal. It's my, which really is one of my favorite times of the year, if not, I mean, really, it's, and it's so many different things. Mm-hmm. It's joy, it's everything. But I just want to say on Saturday, we were with the Seventh Wave Choir, who's doing a number of pieces with Lysongs, led by Amy Lindquist and Angela Gabriel, and we sang a song that they wrote, Amy and Pete, with Gabe, who is on hospice. And the choir came over, and there were about 25 people there.
In the small front room, and people were sitting on the floor, standing, you know, finding any space that they could in the room. And they sang.
Of his room where he lives?
In his front room of his house, yeah. And he is in a wheelchair, and he went to the center, and then the group stood up. And they sang around him, and it was very, very moving.
And the song is called Love Is Here.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is a man who had like 40 foster kids and came home and made dinner every night. And so that's one of the stories and songs that will be played on Saturday and to honor Gabe. And it's just absolutely
And
beautiful.
It's righteous. It's a gospel song. So it's, you know, we'll have people rocking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so any misconceptions people might have about, you know, sort of a nice little concert, you know, very respectful. You know, it's
yeah, come with your heart.
Yeah, come with your heart and an open mind.
Just, you know, come as you are. That's what we always say. That's what makes this project. We just come as we are.
Now, the two of you have done this work for a long time, and we have you on almost every year. And
thank you.
The two of you are also continuing in your own life as artists, you know, as an actress, Akushla, and as a composer, Molly, and both of you, you know, multi-talented, creative people. And I wondered how this work has affected your own work, if it has.
Oh, hugely, in every way. I mean, it's funny because I just directed a show at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, a lovely piece called String of Pearls by Michelle Lowe. Written in 2004, and it's a piece for four women, but we actually cast it for eight women, and it's a story about a string of pearls that goes from one person to the next, and but it's actually really a story of love and loss and friendship and female friendship and enduring, and so I felt it such great privilege in working with these young women and, you know, talking about the other work that I do, not just as a stage director, but as someone, as an artist and activist, and hoping for social change. And we had extraordinary conversations, and great conversations about what it means to be an artist and what it means to be a female artist now, and what the possibilities and the power of that. And I feel very much that the work that I've been doing with the Life Songs, with our other project, the Cold Musical that we're working on, with all the work that we do at the Academy for the Love of Learning, which is an incredibly reflective place, and it's been an amazing incubator for Life Songs in the last 3 years. And that has just deeply affected my other work, and I can't even imagine doing that without that lens anymore. So yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Molly?
Gosh, it's such a big question. I feel like, you know, one of the big projects we've been doing is Cole the Musical, which is very different than, and it's sort of the vagina monologues of climate work. And I've been a lot of places this year: Montana, North Carolina, San Francisco, working with groups and developing the project. And you know, people always say, well, isn't it too late? And I always think about hospice. Yeah, I don't think it's too late at all. I think it's an immense opportunity, and incredible things are happening. But it does... Life Songs has set the bar very high for me in terms of just being at doing work that really effectively works, one, as a prompt for bringing people together in a meaningful way. So I think about art or music in lots of different ways. And yes, I do projects. I just did a composition with recordings from the Sandhill Cranes that I love. It's one of my favorite things living in New Mexico. And it was so nice to just do a project myself with the cranes, honestly, because we work with so many groups. But I was thinking, you know, I need that too as an artist. And but overall, I'd say that Life Songs has a kind of simplicity at its center, working on climate, even though what I was going to finish in my thought was, you know, sometimes I say, well, even if it is too late, if you think of hospice, we show up and we love, you know, I'm not sure it's hospice for the planet. It could be for humans. I don't believe that. But, you know, you hear this a lot in climate work. And so how important it is to show up and come together and do that beautiful work. And it's so great to be working in music mm-hmm. and storytelling, because I can honestly say I don't know anywhere where that isn't desperately needed right now. And I just give a shout out to all the artists mm-hmm. who keep going despite lack of money or anything else, who just keep going. Like, we need you.
Yeah.
This is a time when we need you. So that's how I feel about it at this moment. Mm-hmm.
The concert is called Dancing by Moonlight. It's a project of Life Songs, which is in turn a project of the Academy for the Love of Learning, which is at aloveoflearning.org. The concert is Saturday at 7 o'clock. It's the 9th of May at the Lensic. Akush Labastable and Molly Sturges, co-founders of Life Songs, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
And we're going to go out with one of the Life Songs. This one is called Here in Old Town.
Quarters in our pockets. Let's run on down to the ice cream parlor. Walk on down to the train depot and find ourselves real movie star. Here in Old Town, we share just about everything. Here in Old Town, life is as good as it can be.
We take care of each other every day. Life's not easy, but
here we are. One big happy family.
Oh, there's Jessie skipping down the street. Her mom is serving coffee to the nuns and the priests. The summer calls us into delight.
Hey, come on now, the neighborhood baseball game is on tonight.
Take care of each other every day. Life's not easy, but
here we are all. One big happy family. One big happy family. One big happy family.